Welcome to episode 27 of Mancy, a podcast about magic and how it has affected our culture and the fucked up shit people did with it. I don't know what we do for part three. Each set of episodes, we cover a different Mancy or method of magic. I'm RJ Walker. I'm a spoken word artist and writer. With me is my co-host, Elle.
I'm Elle Alder, a very tired psychic.
And we are powering through part three of Sex Magic. I don't know if y'all knew this, but we record all these in one session.
And, we do. Sometimes they're really fucking long. Like when Neuromancy, I was like, yeah. I'm going to fucking kill you, RJ. It's so long.
So, season finale, I think we keep the long ones only for the season finale. And if I write a long one, I'll be like, you know what? This is going to be a season finale. We'll save that one for later. Jesus Christ. Last week, we started the biography of Rosalie Norton, the witch of King's Cross, who is also known for sex magic and her boundary-pushing, sexualized, and blasphemous artwork. She faced serious oppression from the Australian government, who viewed her work as obscene and corrupting. Her artwork featured demons and pagan gods, often in full nudity with exaggerated bodies emanating sex and power. The 90% Christian population of Australia and its government was in a culture war with the Bohemian societies that were formed by people who just didn't fit the straight white Christian mold. In this episode, we're going to finish the story of Rosalie Norton in part three of Sex Magic, Spell Work by Means of Sex. The tabloids went beyond what even the like teenager had accused Rosaline of. Remember, the teenager accused her of like her life falling apart after doing a satanic ritual with Rosaline. She retracted those statements, but the damage was already done. And the tabloids took that and they were like, yeah, but what if it was worse than that? And they painted a picture of a depraved Satanist who preyed on young people and sacrificed animals to the devil. In truth, Rosaline despised animal sacrifices. Animals were Rosaline's first and best friends.
This is me. I'm like, yeah.
She wouldn't sacrifice Horatius the orb-weaving spider.
No, I don't kill spiders. I like put them outside. I allow spiders to live. Honestly, Rosaline and I are kindred spirits. I would absolutely be one of her best friends anyway.
I know, and like, after falling into the counterculture, after losing my faith in Mormonism, like I've found like a lot of people that I think would be really kindred spirits with somebody like Rosaline. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, her like counterculture lifestyle was just like what caught me when I needed to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
However, the yellow journalism of 1950s Australia did not give a single fuck about the truth.
Have they ever?
Yeah, I know. They only cared about what was selling papers and by riding the waves of sensationalism. And Rosaline was indeed quite sensational. The police used these tabloids to further validate the harassment that they were doing against Rosaline and her associates. In 1955, police took the owner of a cafe called The Cashmere that was displaying Rosaline's artwork. They just like came in there and they were like, I'll have a sandwich. And you're
in
under arrest. Yeah.
And
that painting. Take it off the wall. We're burning it.
Honestly, I love her artwork. It makes me so sad that we have so little of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful.
That same year, the police raided Rosaline's home, accusing her of committing unnatural sex acts. The worst part of all of that was how the police obtained their evidence for probable cause to raid her home, take all of her artwork, and burn it. As evidence, they presented photos of Gavin Greenless, in her, you know, lover, in ritual garb, flogging Rosaline's ass while she was bound in a submissive position, colloquially known as stool in BDSM, which is similar to child's pose, but you're tied up. But how would the police have gotten photos like this?
Mm-hmm.
Treachery. That's how.
Was it done during a sex magic event?
Mm-hmm.
And someone took a picture?
They were doing sex magic for Rosaline's birthday. And they were taking pictures to sort of like capture the moment.
So I want to have like a quick interjection about consent with photos really quick, which is that don't fucking share the photos that you take of people unless you've asked them. And you said, hey, is it okay if I share this photo of you? And these are the specific people I'm going to do with it, even if it is not sexually explicit.
Absolutely.
Do not take a photo of someone and post it without asking them beforehand. There are a lot of reasons people don't want photos of them out there. Don't fucking do it. Again, if you've done this, you need to Venmo that person right now, and I will not read for you if it has not been completed.
Not only that, but it's illegal in most states to do that. There are revenge porn laws that
there's
prevent you
so
from
many.
That.
Well, and even if it isn't meant to be something horrific, even if you're just like, "Oh, my girlfriend's really hot," that doesn't matter if she didn't say that you could do that.
Don't
share. That is literally like sexual exploitation. Don't do it.
Even if they consent to having the photos taken, you don't have consent to share them.
That's
unless
what
they
I mean. Is like, even if it's like, because there are definitely times when it's okay for like your lover to take a photo of you, but that doesn't mean that you've been like, go ahead and share that on Facebook, please. So, don't do this shit. If you do this, I'm gonna know, and you're not gonna get any psychic readings, or they're all gonna be wrong.
Elle is going to tell you the exact moment you will die and how.
People think I couldn't do that. Oh, I can't. I don't know if I can. I don't try, but I will for you if you've done it.
Anyway. Two members of Rosaline's coven, Francis Horner and Raymond Agger, had stolen the camera film from Rosaline's home after the photos were taken at her birthday party. So not only were they, you know, sharing these photos without consent, they literally stole property.
Yeah.
And why would they do this? Fucking money.
Of course.
Just for fucking money. They wanted to sell the photos to the newspapers and tabloids that were so ravenously dragging Rosaline through the mud. Of course, when word got out that these like revenge porn profiteers had damaging photos of Rosaline, the police just confiscated them.
Yeah.
And use them as an excuse to raid Rosaline and Gavin's home.
So they didn't even make any money.
The police seized a lot of her work. And everyone associated with Rosaline was being publicly shamed in the papers.
Why would you do this to a witch? I'm so serious.
Dude.
Why? Like, I honestly, I think both of my boyfriends are both healthily afraid of me in that they wouldn't do this because they're worried about what would happen. So that's a good approach to have towards witches. Like, why would you do this to someone? Why would you do it to someone? Why would you do it to a witch and think that there were going to be no consequences? Because I'm sure they got the ever-living fuck cursed out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the time of the raid, Rosaline had been seeing a composer named Sir Eugene Goossens. And he was one of Rosaline's sex magic partners and was also in a consensual polyamorous relationship with Rosaline and Gavin. The raid on Rosaline's home attracted some serious heat, and the Vice Squad was monitoring him closely. He got caught smuggling contraband occult material into Australia from London, including 800 erotic photos, as well as ritual attire and film. He pled guilty to bringing blasphemous, obscene, and indecent works into the country, and he was subsequently fined. The public shame train headed his way after these charges because he was a high-profile composer, and he was literally forced to flee Australia and return to London. Mm. He resigned from the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, and his international career had been completely demolished. His relationship with Rosaline and Gavin just ended when he left because he didn't want to do long distance.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he was probably like real upset about the whole situation and was like, this is really traumatizing. I want to leave behind.
Well, and like, yeah, how could you fault someone for being in a situation where they've lost everything but you and not, you know, have them blame you for that in some way, shape or form, which is maybe not correct, but is human and normal.
Yeah. But before we get into more of that, we have an extra spell brought to you by the listeners, you and your homies that are listening right now. Mansi is made possible by your support. Just share the podcast, please. The more listens we get, the higher profile we can go, the more sponsorships we get. Let them know what your let people know what your favorite Mansies are, what episodes you like. For this extra spell, we're going to be talking about how people do sex magic today. And I'm going to be using Teen Vogue and Vice as a source. Teen Vogue specifically has a whole series on practical magic. Elle, I'm sure you probably know all of this stuff already, and I'd love to hear your input on what Teen Vogue thinks.
Okay.
So the first technique that they mention in the article is visualization. When you masturbate, visualize the goal you want to achieve and then masturbate to build up energy. Mm-hmm. Allow the energy you build up to connect to the goal when you orgasm in order to manifest it. And this seems to be the most traditional way to perform sex magic other than, you know, like the edging that Ida Craddock and the ancient Chinese promoted.
Yeah, this is actually because we were talking to one of our friends who's like looking into sponsorship stuff, and they were like, I don't know, sex magic is kind of scary. I don't know about that. And I was like, no, it's just building energy any other way. So if you remember in the pyromancy episode, I talked about using candles basically as a way to let energy out into the universe to bring basically vacancy of energy in your life to allow space for that energy to come back to you. So like money would be burning a green candle and then you get money back. You can do that with anything. And sex magic particularly is very popular, like with masturbation. You typically would not, unless it was something with the OTO or if you had a partner that was in a coven with you, would you be really practicing group sex as sex magic. A lot of times it would take place like solitarily or just with one other partner. And that creating a manifestation. So typically you might like meditate and then have some like manifesting where you're like pulling a goal in and then building up the energy. Some people choose to dance. Some people choose to masturbate. And then, yeah, just that initial release of energy from the orgasm.
I love that sentence. Some people choose dance. Others choose masturbation.
You know? Yeah, they do. If you're one of those people, I should just start a poll that's like, do you choose dance or do you choose masturbation? Oh my God, I'm going to put it on my Twitter. And then I will retweet it when this episode comes out. And I'll be like, this is what everyone said.
Yeah.
Everyone will choose masturbation. Guarantee it.
Guaranteed. It's so popular.
No, but that is actually how you would do it. Manifesting very specifically is like creating that space in your life for that energy to come back to you. But it's also making it tangible and real. So what they're talking about when they say letting that energy connect to your goal at orgasm is how you would do that. You would say, oh, this is an energy that I'm working towards and I'm reaching out towards this thing and pulling it closer. So you're allowing that energy to connect with that to make it grounded. People have a lot of weird perceptions about sex and about what that can do in your body, basically. But it's one of the best ways to be grounded in your body, to be experiencing that. Like when you have a lover and you're involved in that and you're having kind of a spiritual moment of sex, you're very grounded in your body because you're feeling everything that's happening. And the same thing can be true with masturbation. So, yeah.
Another sex magic technique is to charge your sex toys with moonlight.
Yeah.
Place them under a full moon or wash them with moon water that's been charged by the moonlight. There are also like crystal sex toys you can purchase that are designed to absorb energy. Mm-hmm. According to Christian Soleil, author of Witches, Sluts, and Feminists, Conjuring the Self-Positive, pink quartz is a great stone for conjuring self-love, amethyst for spiritual guidance, or obsidian for working through trauma.
What? Whoa. Pink quartz? Not rose quartz?
I literally copied and pasted this quote that's verbatim.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I'm questioning that. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Pink quartz. Sorry, for what? Say it again.
Pink quartz. How dare you? It's rose
quartz. That's not the fucking right way to say
it.
It's not the right way to say that. Please. Okay. If you are going to tell me that you are an authority on this, get your fucking shit right. Okay. That's my thing. If you're an authority, be authority. He is not an authority. It's fine. Okay.
I feel the same way about some people I talk about anime with.
Yeah. They're like, shouldn't you know the fuck you're talking about right now? Yeah. Okay.
So pink quartz is a great stone for conjuring self-love, mm-hmm. amethyst for spiritual guidance, or obsidian for working through trauma.
Yes. So the caveat that I want to add here is that some stones and crystals are toxic to people.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We should note that.
Yes. That's a very important thing. Do not buy a fluorite yoni egg and think you're going to be okay, because there is a very real chance once fluorite warms up enough, it leaches toxins. So your body can literally leach toxins from having a fluorite yoni egg. A yoni egg, yoni is like a traditional word for a vagina. An egg would be like a weight that you put into it. So you're doing Kegels and different stuff. It's like for training that they do, and like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. Have you heard of Goop?
What the fuck is that?
I'd have to look it up. But it's like her like self-help line of like crystals and yoni eggs and shit. Anyway, she sells them like basically with that kind of self-love and like the movement that we're in, the spiritual movement. She'll say that it's a great way to like recenter your energy, and it can be. Be really, really, really aware and careful. Just because things are natural does not make them safe, which is, I think, a thing that maybe needs to be fucking said.
Yeah. rattlesnake venom is natural.
And it's not safe. Like, I'm sorry, but I personally think, like, yeah. Anyway, just make sure if you're doing any of this work, they definitely have some really great tools. And some people like them because they're, like, heavier, and that's great. Just make sure that you're researching the crystals that you're using, not from someone who calls it fucking pink quartz, please.
Just in general, like, if you have a sex toy that's, like, an improvised sex toy that isn't made out of, like, silicone or something, you should probably just make sure that it's safe to use on your body.
Yeah, just do a little research. But, I mean, people don't know that, and people sell shit. Like, they had at one of the shops here, they had a ball gag that was, like, made out of different crystals that were very, very pretty. But she was like, you would not ever use those in play because you could break your teeth. So those are important things to ask the person of where you were buying things, and or ask the internet so you are being safe.
Yeah. And didn't Gwyneth Paltrow have some, like, exploding candles that smell like her vagina? I don't know. That's
probably.
That's a whole other current event.
No, I think that that's just a goopy thing. You should, like, okay. Look up goop.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Another tech. So this one, I think that you will agree with. Masturbating using certain kinds of colors will also help in directing the energy from sex magic. According to the Teen Vogue article, How to Use Sex Magic to Manifest Your Best Self, written by Lisa Stardust. This is the article we're referencing. If you are trying to bring more money, then you may want to use the color green. Love will require a pink color. Healing is the shade white. Purple is used to enhance professional gains. Red is to increase passions. The reason is that color is an energetic frequency that can transcend dreams into reality. And you can invoke these colors by, like, wearing specific lingerie or underclothes, using specific sheets or, like, colored sex toys or, like, body paint or makeup when you have sex or masturbate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, I actually really like her. This is a good article. Like, this has my stamp of approval.
You know, Teen Vogue has been killing it lately.
It really has been. And this is why people are upset. There was... We had a billboard off the side of the road.
Oh, it's
here.
Still there.
Oh, it's still there. It says Cosmo.
Cosmopolitan magazine contains porn that harms children.
Yeah. So anyway,
my favorite thing about that billboard is that the local hip hop radio station U92 put up one using the same color palette, graphic design, and font that said U92 contains dope hip hop that engages that engages your kids. Like, it was great.
But yes, this sounds like a great article that has, like, a lot of good thoughts. So if you guys wanted, like, more specific instruction, can you plug that again?
Yeah. So it's on Teen Vogue, and it's How to Use Sex Magic to Manifest Your Best Self, written by Lisa Stardust.
Yeah. I think y'all should check that out if you're intrigued.
Another technique involves caromancy, or candle magic. Carve the intention into the candle, or carve a specific sigil into the candle and light it. And then you charge it with the orgasmic energy by having sex or masturbating while it burns.
Yeah.
All of these sex magic techniques are totally up to you. I remember the sex candle that I got from you, burned super fast. Like, huge flame, less than 10 minutes. This 10-inch candle just, like, burned away. Just, like, whoop. And when I told you, you asked me if I was, like, masturbating a lot. And I mean, always.
Yeah, that can do it because you're like, because you're just the energy, you're charging it a lot.
Yeah. And I was, like, really sad and living in grandma's basement, recovering from that abusive relationship. And so, of course, it was just like sadsturbating 20 times a day.
didn't you get some of it on, like, a speaker or something?
Yeah. Like, my surround sound system, my subwoofer is what I had it on.
And didn't I give you a plate or something?
So the plate that I had it on overflowed.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I did a candle spell that just there's a store in Salt Lake City that makes the best candles ever, and I will go once a year and I will buy as many as I can because they only come out during, like, Christmas time, and they go away super, super fast. But they're completely handmade, hand poured. They have crystals in them. They have, like, all these little tchotchkes and stuff in them. They've got glitter.
Tchotchkes.
They're wonderful. I save them because you burn the candle and then you save all the things that were in the candle in a little spell bag, and then you put it on your altar. You carry it with you. And so I had one, and I was like, I'm gonna just do one for, like, I think it was just general love, like opening myself up to, like, just whatever kind of love, if that was, like, romantic love, platonic love, self-love, whatever. I just was, like, clearing some way for some love. And this little candle burns, and I had it on a candle plate, And I have to show you this picture. We'll probably have to post a picture of it. The way that the candle dripped off of it was just straight up a pink penis. Just straight up a penis. And there's this woman who's named Madame Pamita, and she is a wonderful candle magician. She's absolutely incredible. She's a tarot reader, and she was at INATS, which is the International New Age Trade Show that used to happen in Denver, or it happens in Denver. It didn't happen in 2020, probably not in 2021.
Yeah, because
COVID. Right. And I would go to it every year so I could go buy stuff for the store. And she happened to be there while I was there. And I ended up at the shop and she was doing readings there because there's another palm reader that works with him. His name's Divine Hand, Divine Palm Jim, something like that. Anyway, mm-hmm. You can find him. You can just type in Jim Palm Reader and he will pop up, I promise. But we found Madame Pamita and she was talking about candle magic. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm writing a book. Like, she and I just started chatting. And I was like, you do candle magic? She was like, I do. And I was like, I have a candle for you to look at that was literally a penis. And I showed it to her and she was like, yeah. Do you know what I think that means? I was like, what does it mean, Madame Pamita? Please tell me what my penis candle means. And she said, the right penis is out there for you somewhere.
Maybe it's in the deck. No, I doubt it.
No, none of those penises are the penis that is the right one for me. Anyway, we probably have to post a picture of it. But yes, I've had some interesting things happen when you do like just general, like, anyway, sex and love. I got to find the picture really quick.
And that was the extra spell brought to you by you and the other listeners. Donate any amount of money to @dollarcompliments on Venmo, and I will do a fake, not psychic reading of whatever tarot card I pull for you. You can also support us by subscribing to patreon.com/Mancy. As a Stancy, you'll receive episodes as soon as, oh my God, that is a penis.
It's just straight up a penis.
I'm looking at this wax and it's a penis.
It's a penis.
It's a penis. Oh my God, now it's in my brain. As a Stancy, you'll receive episodes as soon as we're done making them. That means no more waiting for part two, or in this case, part three. And you'll also get to hear the occasional like blooper and behind the scenes take.
You're going to have to leave in there. Oh my God, it's a penis.
And now, back to the biography of Rosaline Norton. The stress of the raid on her house by the Vice Squad was extremely difficult on Gavin Greenless, and he ended up showing some extreme symptoms of psychosis. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia and placed in a mental hospital in 1957, which, like, not the best time to be in a mental hospital, as we covered
in
the bonus episode.
Yeah.
Rosaline would continue to visit him and support him financially, but mental hospitals were expensive, and much of her work was, like, burned and destroyed by the police for indecency. Rosaline's fame and infamy had built up to the point where she was practically radioactive, which is sort of what allowed her to turn things around. You see, at a certain point, you get so much bad press, you get dragged through the mud for so long that you literally transcend your own reputation and become a legend.
Yep.
And with all this high-profile drama reaching its head with the raid, Rosaline had become a legend by 1960, and she would use that to her advantage. The Witchcraft Act of 1735 had been repealed in England, but in Australia, it wouldn't be repealed until 1971. 1971, they had anti-witchcraft laws. Even so, Rosaline leaned into the tabloid coverage and openly declared herself to be a witch. She took interviews with all the papers that had been smearing her and told them all that she was a witch and explained her pantheistic pagan beliefs. By keeping her name in the papers, she became a tourism destination in her own right. People came from all over to see the infamous Witch of King's Cross and see the paintings that had caused such an upset. Because of that, not only was she selling paintings, but she was selling hexes, charms, and using witchcraft to supplement her income and help pay for Gavin's medical bills.
Hey, does everyone know that this is the story of every witch that has ever existed? Literally, if you, like, that's the thing is, like, am I a psychic? Yeah. Am I kind of a scary psychic? Like, do I freak people out? Yeah. But do you know what that gets me? Clients.
Yeah.
That's the only way. You have to have really fucking tough skin and be the one that's like, yeah, you know what? I don't have to give a fuck about that. And then humans, like regular old humans, have these like bright eyes and they're like, you're so shiny. What is it? And then they're just convinced that you're magical because you didn't die when everyone, you know, kind of thought you should, when the police raided you, when your boyfriend left, when everything went to fucking shit. She was like, I'm still here and I'm still a witch.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Eventually, Gavin was released from the asylum, like temporarily, to be like, maybe he'll recover better at home. But he suffered a severe psychotic break and threatened Rosaline with a knife, attempting to kill her.
Mm.
Rosaline managed to escape from his attack and he was recommitted. He would remain at Callan Park Hospital for almost the rest of his life. Much of his psychiatric condition might have been due to the abuse of psychedelic drugs and amphetamines at the same time.
What?
When these drugs were new and novel.
What?
Yeah, it was like we didn't know a lot about him. And so he was just like, yeehaw, yippee-ki-yay, let's do LSD and meth.
You just get, yeah, at a certain point, you get so fucking unattached from reality.
Yeah. And they very much these drugs were connected to like the mysteries of like psychology and spiritualism. Like, this is going to open me up and make me like this incredible artist, you know?
I just want to take like a brief aside that I will absolutely ring the bell for after this. But I have this a lot where people like ask me about my experience with like smoking weed and doing readings or getting drunk and doing readings or doing mushrooms. And I'm like, I don't ever read when I am intoxicated in any way, shape, or form. I don't like drink wine while I do readings. I don't like take like a quick puff of weed and then sit down for a reading. And we all know that I'm like a medical marijuana patient. I don't have any issue with that. But the thing is that you cannot control your brain in that. And there's no way, if you can't have control over what you're receiving, to make sure that you're receiving something positive. And drugs are pretty bad. Like any kind, even marijuana, you know, has its downsides. It has its side effects. And you have to really choose, like, what's the difference here? But like, don't think that doing more drugs makes you more spiritual. Please don't think that. That's not true. That's not how it works.
And as a poet like Gavin, don't think that doing more drugs makes you a better poet.
It's not. It doesn't.
Writing poetry makes you a better poet.
Yeah.
Helping other poets makes you a better poet.
I mean, like the most spiritual thing that you can do is be connected to the here and now and figure out how to fucking get through the tough shit. Like that's where the real magic comes in. That's where you work on yourself. That's where you empower yourself. Not by doing a bunch of drugs so you don't have to be here anymore.
And I have a message for those Bukowski fuckboys out there who think like, ooh, find what you love and let it kill you. Fuck you.
No, don't.
Fuck you. Don't do that.
Like, have the best life. Live a happy and healthy life.
Don't do
that. Be happy. Be healthy.
Find what you love and let it give you life, you edgelord motherfuckers. Anyway.
That's my aside on the whole spirituality and drugs. It does not make you more spiritual to do drugs. It will not make you a better reader to do drugs. Don't think that it will, and don't let yourself talk yourself into that. That was not very good. RJ does, like, the best.
There we go.
I got it.
The idea that someone who already has a predisposition for mental illness and then overdo it with drugs, receiving, you know, severe psychological damage from those drugs, you know, that's, I mean, kind of a likely story, especially at the time. And Gavin was finally released in 1983.
Mm.
And then he dies the same year at the age of 53 of suspected suicide. And I should have mentioned Gavin was 12 years younger than Rosaline.
I was trying to do the math and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he was much younger than Rosaline. Throughout the 60s, there was a counterculture revolution. I mean, that's all these fucking boomers talk about. And I mean, yeah, it was pretty progressive, but I feel like the most progressive boomers just like fucking died and now we're stuck with what we have now. But Rosaline was very much a pioneer of that in Australia, confidently declaring who she was and facing the sexual repression of the Aussie government and mainstream culture just head on. She faced harassment at every turn for her expressions of sexuality and spirituality, and her bravery led to both tragedy and progress. Eventually, she let go of her fame and infamy to live a life of seclusion, the one she always wanted as a child. In 1979, she died of colon cancer. Her last words were, "I came into this world bravely, I'll go out bravely," which, like, dope last words.
I
saw that
in
the documentary. I was like, oh, man.
Everything about the documentary, like, this woman was amazing. And the documentary is worth the watch. Just worth getting to know
her. And they read one of her poems and it has this great line that says, "Night, freakish night sets me free." And I'm like, love that shit.
Yeah, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Rosaline used sex magic to manifest a better world. Whether the magic worked or not, she was still an arbiter for progress in terms of her sex positivity activism and the brave way that she stared down this oppression.
Yeah.
So like big mad props to Rosaline Norton.
I wish I don't want to say I wish I could be as brave, but like I hope that I am. I hope I'm not brave. I hope I'm the one that's like, yeah, you know what? Fuck you.
I know. And she was so ahead of her time. If literally her paintings had come out a decade later.
I mean, like her work is honestly not that. It's not, I guess to us now, I mean, I have this painting or it's a little drawing that I love that's this just absolutely like pornographically beautiful demon girl with these enormous breasts like eating a heart. And I'm like, that's my fucking shit. It is. Her work is not nearly that, I think, intense or graphic or it's not. It just is like, it's kind of expressing magic and what magic means to her and her different like expressions of like themes that you constantly see in tarot cards. Like some of her stuff, literally when we were watching it, as they were going through everything, I was like, oh no, that's Toth. That's Aleister Crowley. That's Crowley. That's Toth. That's Toth. That's Aleister Crowley. Like just everything is such like part of our modern world. If you're into tarot at all, then you understand everything. So it's hard to think about a woman who is so demonized for something that's just part of life now.
Yeah. And like, it's easy to say that she wouldn't have faced all this adversity if she'd existed later, but maybe she might have. Maybe, you know.
I think that people are born when they're born for a reason.
Yeah, and I think she helped bring that progress. Even if she did come later, like then the progress would have come later because her brave work helped drive this progress.
Yeah, it was one of those fuck yous to society. We need more of those, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I came into researching sex magic thinking I was going to find a whole bunch of like disgusting sexual abuse inside of cults and from various spiritual leaders levying their positions for the purpose of exploitation. And don't get me wrong, like that shit exists and there's tons of shit about it. You can watch documentaries and stuff. But, you know, especially with big religions that have like complex layered power structures that are rooted in patriarchy. And I'm certain there are those who misinterpret or use the works of Aleister Crowley and Ida Craddock and other sex magicians to, you know, do the same thing and exploit people. But that's not sex magic because it's abuse. And what I actually found were women and queer people fighting for sexual expression through traumatizing and violent repression. And I know everyone loves a good dark fucked up tale like true crime and,
of course,
and all that
shit.
But I feel these stories of progress are way better to tell. And I think it's way important to recognize where the progress we enjoy today comes from.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that when we were watching her documentary, I was honestly like shocked that I'd never heard of her, that I hadn't encountered
Me
her
too.
In anything.
I feel like there's lots of stuff in Australia that I probably should know but don't.
We honestly need to go to Australia. We've talked about this. We actually had this conversation.
I know.
We were like, all right, we're going to go to Australia.
I know a lot of people that like run the poetry slams in Australia because I've competed with them at the National Poetry Slam. And they're like, come on down, we'll give you shows. And I'm like, yeah, but it's so expensive to get there.
Someday. Someday. It doesn't even matter because we couldn't go there like, right now anyway.
Definitely, like, that would be a tourcation, a poetcation.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Well, and I was like, I'll just go read tarot. You can do poetry. We'll just wander around Australia and go pet a koala if they don't bite us first. But with Rosaline, I was so, like, she really is, like, such a kindred spirit for me. Someone that I'm like, I have so much of that same, like, thumb your nose at society and be like, I want to do my own shit and I want to do it how I want to do it. And she wasn't harming anyone. And she just had these ideas that were just different. But she was just born different. She was just born, I think, to shine a little brighter. It makes me sad to think that we've lost her legacy. Like, that's, I think, the thing that's so hard for me, like, in all of her stories, that we don't really know who she is anymore. But maybe that'll change.
I mean, we have surviving copies of the book that has the prints of her art. While we've lost a lot of originals, there are some originals that survive. Like, Fohat is one of those originals that survive because of that bookbinder who chose it.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, how brave of that bookbinder to be like, which ones are they fucking us over for?
Yeah.
I'll take one of those.
I want one of them. Yeah. Like, he was like, fuck it, don't pay me. Like, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's how resistance is started, right? Like, that's what resistance is it's like one person inspiring other people to say, fuck you. And that, like, that's all it takes to have like a resistance, to be part of the resistance, to be part of the change of the world. It's like, you're the one person, you're the one cog in the machine that says no.
Yeah.
And other people are like, wait, that's an option?
And
I
also,
could do that?
He probably had great foresight where he was like, you know what? These prudes are all going to die and this progress is going to live and my painting is going to be worth a bazillion dollars.
And you have to believe that if you're going to be brave enough to say, yeah, all this controversy, fuck it. I'm doing it anyway. You have to be a person that like knows, I don't know, like art is worth dying for, in my opinion. It is. And so these people were like willing to put their livelihood on the line to make it continue. And that's cool. So my point is, please go watch this documentary. Please tell people about her. Please don't let her legacy be gone. Don't do that.
It's titled The Witch of King's Cross.
Yeah. Go watch it. Go throw money at them. I don't know. Maybe we should track down any heirs that she has and donate to them, or donate to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. That's
in her honor.
solid thing. Like, yeah. help, you know, with sex positivity.
Yeah.
And now, let's do some more sex magic.
Yay.
Obviously, the tarot is one of the most notable teachings of Aleister Crowley, specifically the Thoth tarot. And he had a book of like specific instructions on how to use it. L, do you use the Thoth tarot? Is that like a thing that you use? And how is it different than the Rider-Waite?
Okay, yeah. I was trying to explain this to RJ. So there are basically two kinds of tarot cards, and every tarot deck is based off of either Rider-Waite-Smith or is based off of the Thoth tarot. So Thoth tarot has, and they both have specific systems in them. So Thoth tarot has three magicians in it. And Rider-Waite does not have any magicians in it as well. Thoth tarot has names, like words on the card that tell you what the card means. So like Thoth tarot will have on like the seven of pentacles, it will say failure. The lovers will say lust, or no, strength will say lust. So that kind of stuff. So this deck, which I have a sex fortunes tarot deck, which is just tarot with like
sex positions on it.
Also only white people. Oh, no. No, pretty much only white people. There might be some POC people in here.
I thought there were.
Because
I remember I went through this when you got it.
Oh, maybe. No. This is a different one. This is not same one.
I see.
So, like, kind of. I don't know. I think that, you know,
but
that
you have multiple sex position decks?
Yes, I think. Did you went through this? Oh my god, it's
like
called the Three of Clits.
The Three of Clits.
Amazing.
This is great. I'm excited.
And
we're going to do two shorter readings, one for our mutual Katie Douglas.
Who is this really incredible. So she is a reader as well, and she is sex positive. She worked at a little shop that was like that is locally owned by two lesbians in Utah. It is called Black Velvet Boutique. Please go give them money. They are really, really wonderful, and they work really hard to educate people about queer and trans partners and like be supportive and be inclusive of different experiences. And that's like Katie's really, really big proponent. She always says vulva owners and penis owners, which is how we should be referring to people in situations in which we need to refer to genitals, or that is any part of the conversation, in my opinion.
And the other one is going to be for Laurie Bennett Cook, who does all kinds of really cool shit. So she's a sex educator at the Center for Positive Sexuality. She has her PhD in sexology. She's a writer for Q Salt Lake Magazine, which is the, you know, queer magazine. And she's also a surrogate partner at the Center for Sexuality Counseling. She's just a fucking badass.
Cool.
And does all kinds of cool things in activism and stuff.
Very cool. Okay, well, we'll start, I think, with Katie.
Okay.
We should ask her what's her name?
Laurie.
We should ask her about consent in dreams.
We really should. You know, that's a lingering question. I might just send her that episode and be like, hey, answer some questions we have.
Yeah. Can you just tell us a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to shuffle these bad boys. And Katie's was just kind of general, just like what she needs to know, what she needs to focus on. How's that for ASMR?
Yeah.
ASMR.
Shuffling ASMR. When you do your audio readings from your Etsy, do you include the shuffling and everything?
No, not many people get card readings. Mm. And with the card readings, I like lay it all out and then I take pictures of it so they don't get the shuffling. King of Sex Wands.
King of... Why wouldn't it just be like King of Dildos or something?
I don't know. We got the Justice card.
Ooh, Justice. Oh, he's getting pegged.
Yeah, it's so good. He also has a blindfold on.
Ooh.
So.
Extra spicy.
Yeah, it's very spicy. And the Two of Clits. The Seven of Flesh Swords.
Flesh Swords?
And the Lovers.
And the Lovers. Okay.
So, Katie... Yeah, there's definitely, I would say, so with the King of Wands, King of Sex Wands, it's a little bit of, it's reversed, and that's a little bit of like, partner not being himself. That's not his typical card. That's not typically how he shows up. And it's a little bit like we're lacking some ambition. He's kind of running out of steam. He's having a hard time keeping up with commitments that he's made before, keeping up with responsibilities. He doesn't really have a lot of drive. He doesn't really have a lot of ambition right now. But the Two of Cups tells me that like really what he's searching for is companionship and connection. He just feels pretty disconnected from you. And that's also the Lovers, is like, we've now officially run out of the point where we are in the honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase is very, very gone at this point. And there needs to be some communication around like fairness and the partnership and balancing the partnership a little bit more. But like at the end of the day, like the main thing, like the main focus point is that companionship and that the Two of Cups, which is that combining and kind of supporting each other. I just feel like there's kind of this, it's not like a big rift, but just a little rift from that connection that's kind of keeping you guys separate. As well, like there's this tendency with the Seven of Swords, which is reversed, to one of you kind of thinks that the other is being sneaky. And I don't think they're being sneaky. It just feels like they're being sneaky. It just is kind of like one eye raised, a little bit suspicious, because there's some tension or friction in the companionship area. So then it's like, well, what are you doing that you shouldn't be doing that you're going to make it like this? Da, 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 like that kind of stuff. So just make sure that... if it's you, cut that shit out. If it's him, well, anyway, we both need to have a conversation. There needs to be some honesty surrounding the relationship and kind of talking about the things that you're needing. Just with the Justice card right in the middle of that, there's a little bit of questions about whether or not you guys are really both happy with the situation. And I think that neither of you are totally contented with stuff. So there needs to be a conversation between the two of you about what both of you need and kind of meeting those wants and needs and expectations a little bit differently. So I feel like the breakdown in communication is the main issue here. But I feel like, again, the communication is the only thing that needs to happen. There just needs to be like a state of the union. What is it that's missing from this relationship? What are the things that we could be doing to be supporting each other better? And what conversations need to be happening surrounding that? So,
okay, dope.
Hey, also, if you're suspicious of your partner and wondering what the fuck's going on because things are different, that reading was also for you. So,
yeah, talk to people.
Yeah, communication. What is it?
So this next one is for Laurie Bennett Cook, and she, when I was explaining, like, all you need to do is, like, ask a question for whatever esoteric knowledge. She's like, oh, I thought this was, like, a whole interview. And I was like, no, nope.
But we should.
We keep it simple. I mean, a whole interview would be cool.
That would be great if we
could
do that with her.
If you're listening, just, like, hit us up. So Laurie's question was like, oh, okay, so much I want to know. Is the move ahead a good one? When/where will there be a next husband? What do I need to focus on in my current relationship? And I was like, that last question sounds like a perfect question to ask sexy tarot cards.
What she needs to focus on?
What do I need to focus on in my current relationship? And she was like, great.
Okay, cool.
She was like, so strangely, once given the opportunity to ask a question, I struggled with what to think.
You never know. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, it's fine because most people don't think about what they'd like to ask a psychic on a podcast.
I literally, so before we came down to record, I had a phone reading for two clients, and their like friend had bought them a reading because she'd had a reading before. And so I like got on the phone with them. And whenever I sit down to like have a conversation or do a reading, I always ask my clients, what do you want to talk about? What can I help you with today? What is the thing that you're struggling with? What do you need help with? And they were like, So anyway, even people who are getting readings don't know what to think about.
Yeah.
They felt very unprepared, and then I felt bad.
Let's see, and you're also drawing five cards?
Yes.
We got, oh, Justice again.
Yeah, the Justice card.
Oh, with the guy getting pegged.
The King of Clits.
King of Clits.
That's a great Nine of Flesh Swords. That's not such a great one.
No. Oh, that's Nightmare. That's Nightmare Swords.
It is the Nightmare Swords, which is also the missionary position, in case anyone was wondering.
The Six of Flesh Swords reversed.
Yeah. And then the King of Testicles.
The King of Testicles. Ayo.
Okay, so... I'm going to, I guess, break these down a little bit more so we can kind of talk about like what the cards are actually saying, because as much fun as the names of them are, they're not overly reflective. So the King of Pentacles, or the King of Testicles, is equivalent to the King of Pentacles. And King of Pentacles is someone who's very focused on tangible things about money, security, focusing on making sure that he is okay and secure. With him being reversed, there's definitely a feeling of being insecure, of not really being sure about where things are going or what's happening. This doesn't feel related to you. This feels more about work, finances, that kind of stuff. So it feels more like that's what they're really trying to get under control. And what they have, the King of Clits, which is the King of Cups. King of Cups is very focused on emotions and really being emotional. So what matters to the King of Cups is how I feel about something. What matters to the King of Pentacles is how secure he is. Doesn't matter how he feels. So he's really caught, or they're really caught in between focusing on how they feel about stuff and focusing on their security. And their security is the one that's kind of losing right now. So making sure that you're really fostering that emotional side, that you're really having that connection, that he's feeling supported, because I think that's the biggest thing, is that they're just feeling, not from you being any sort of way, but they're just having a lot of feelings that they don't feel like they get to express. And it's not because you've done anything wrong, but just like, these are my emotions. I'm going to hold them in because I just have feelings about stuff. But it just feels like having a little bit of a moment of like, hey, can we have some catharsis? Can we just sit together? Can I just be intimate with you for a moment? Can we like maybe have a bath? Something like that, where you're breaking down that barrier and allowing both of you to feel connected and a little bit more intimate. I feel like it's going to be a really good background just for a really solid conversation about how they're feeling about stuff, because that's the main thing that's going on there. Nine of Flesh Swords is Nine of Swords, which is the Nightmare or Anxiety card. So
it's the missionary position.
It is, yeah. And the Six of Flesh Swords is the Six of Swords, which is kind of a solo journey. So there's definitely anxiety happening around like loneliness or being alone or feeling alone. There's like this kind of idea of like a lot of the feelings, a lot of the emotions, a lot of the insecurity is really tied to them being afraid of having to do things alone and having anxiety around doing stuff alone. So I definitely think that like digging deeper into that, and it might be time for another, for like a State of the Union, just to check in with where both of you are at with expectations. Because I feel like that's like the main thing, is that there's confusions about expectation as far as like where the relationship is going to go. And it might be time for you guys just to have a really frank conversation. Like, are we going to get married? Are we not going to get married? What are we thinking? What matters to us long term? That kind of stuff. And I feel like even if that's a difficult conversation, it's going to be a good time for you both to kind of express these emotions that have been broiling for a little bit. And ultimately, what you're doing is working towards justice. And justice is the card of the thing that is best for everyone instead of the thing that is best for you. So even though it feels like there's some like tough conversations to happen, or that there needs to be some time, like being vulnerable, even though it's really amazing after you're with your partner, when you're like, oh, we just got to be really intimate and vulnerable and have this like really vulnerable conversation, is fucking terrifying. Like, those are just the scariest conversations, because you never know what you're going to get when you go into them. So even with that vulnerability and that intimacy and kind of all of those big questions, it's for the best of everyone involved, just to kind of get on the same page. So it feels like it's a good time for a state of the relationship. I would go into it very, very slowly, very cautiously, kind of build that like vulnerable and intimate situation where you guys can both just kind of freely share to have that conversation. And then I feel like that'll get you guys both on the same page. Doesn't feel bad, doesn't feel good. It just feels like that's kind of the thing that needs to be happening right now, as well as you offering your partner just a little bit more emotional support, or maybe a little bit emotional leniency. You know how like when someone's really stressed, you're like, I am choosing to just understand that you're really going fucking through it, and I know that you're not trying to be mean to me, but you're kind of being mean. Like, you know how you just can kind of be like, I'm just going to choose to forgive this for a minute and we can have a conversation about it later. That feels like that's going to be a great approach for that one. Okay, yeah, that's what I've got.
Okay. Well, I hope you liked your reading, Katie. And I hope that you liked your reading, Laurie. Yeah. What a fun little tarot deck that is.
It kind of is fun. So Katie, when she used to work at Black Velvet Boutique one year for Christmas, we went out to this very, very fancy restaurant to exchange gifts. And she bought me the sex fortune decks and some sex toys and some sex tape, and then forced me to open them up in a restaurant where the plates were $25 each, where, like, literally my neighbors, I, like, could have elbowed them, and I just got to open up so many sex toys in this restaurant. So that is the legacy that Katie has given me.
Well, how about that?
Such an experience. But yes, they're fun. And yes, we went through the entire deck. And I was like, oh my God, just as they're pegging. Ah! Like, I thought it was so funny. Anyway.
Hit us up on Patreon and Elle will do a reading for you on the show using whatever divination method we're covering. Patreon.com/Mancy. Also, if you like the show, please share with your friends. The more support we have, the more episodes we can make. And if you like my writing, you can pick up my books at rjwalkerpoet.com.
If you wanted to get a reading from me, obviously you can donate to the Patreon, or you can find me on my Etsy at Laurels of Lux. I also have a website now, laurelsoflux.com. I'm on Twitter at Laurels of Lux. You can find me. You can ask me questions. You could totally send me your hilarious candle wax things, and I will definitely post a picture of the penis candle.
The music was provided by, in order of appearance, Hayden Folker, Arthi Vinka, Miyu, and Scott Buckley.